Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, right here on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our good friends over there at WrestleZone.com, the world's most widely read wrestling news site. What a weekend it's been. Lots of news about WWE, lots of thoughts about SmackDown. Of course, if you're on our Patreon over at patreon.com/TotalEngage or WrestlingFriend.com, you got to hear our SmackDown review show. And as a rare treat, we released our SmackDown review show for our friends here who listen to Total Engagement. But I gotta tell you, I'm gonna give another bonus show to the Patreons for supporting the show and the fact that we gave everybody that show. WrestlingFriend.com. I'm your wrestling friend. You're my wrestling friend. We are all wrestling friends together. And let's be part of a wrestling family together. Support Total Engagement over at WrestlingFriend.com. Today, what are we going to talk about? Well, of course, we're going to talk about the Saudi thing, what happened with the guys being stuck over there, and also more wrestling in front of the camera stuff. What are they going to do on Raw this week on Raw to follow up on the NXT invasion? Today on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. Of course, if you haven't heard by now, you're probably living under a rock, or maybe you're just a normal wrestling fan who doesn't follow these things closely, and you probably have a life. But the majority of the WWE roster and employees were held in Saudi Arabia for a long time, like over 24 hours, after the time they were supposed to depart. All kind of rumors are making the rounds. I may have had a hand in breaking one of those because a listener DM'd me a translation of Hugo Savinovich telling a story of the Crown Prince being upset at Vince McMahon because Vince McMahon cut off the feed to Saudi Arabia from the Crown Jewel because he believed the Crown Prince owed him money. And I sent that to David Bixenspan, who then did some investigating. And turns out it's true. The feed to Saudi Arabia was delayed like an hour. So if that's the case, the story is, and the story making the rounds, is that Vince McMahon and the Crown Prince got into a hubbub, got into a disagreement. Vince left. He did not know, probably, that they were going to keep his talent there. You know, for all the people who say Vince left his talent on the field, or Vince left his people there, or he's a leader, and leaders don't do that, I would agree. I would totally agree with you. And you know, I'm the first one to criticize somebody or something in wrestling, but from everything we've read about Vince McMahon, everything we've heard about him, from people who hate him, people who love him, there's no way he would have abandoned and left if he thought that was a chance that could happen. I mean, really, why would you even conceive that would be a thing? Now, of course, it's worth mentioning that the WWE released a statement saying that it was airplane trouble, and Atlas Airlines released a statement as well saying it was airplane trouble, mechanical failures. And WWE also released a statement that 20 people who felt compelled to book a charter did so, which I think made the other people look bad, that statement, you know. And a matter of fact, when some people got stateside, some people like Luke Harper or Heath Slater, they made little mentions about not wanting it enough or not being part of the motivated 20 or whatever it was to charter their own plane. Is that a fact? I believe it's a fact because I heard from a talent myself that they chartered the plane. I also heard from a current talent that confirmed the reports that WWE talent are upset about it. This person told me he was very upset and he did not necessarily want to work for the company any longer if it was possible. And it wasn't like this was like a terrible, terrible, terrible thing that was an outlier. This was like a straw on the back of the person that I talked to. So then piecing this all together, Vince made the Prince mad and Vince left. And there was a lot of Jets that left, like Vince left, Brock left, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair left. And I believe those were three different Jets that left. And then a charter left with 20 people. And then everybody else was stuck behind and even went back to their hotel. They were told to stay in their hotel. And talent has told a lot of reporters, I've heard from talent. I know Dave Meltzer's heard from talent that they felt in a way that they were being held against their will. Because if you really wanted to get a plane out of there, you could have. There's another side to it, if we're being fair, that says that maybe the hostage thing is a little bit dramatic, and that why would you take the first flight out of Saudi Arabia to Europe or something just to get out of the country if you're not in any impending danger, that it was mechanical trouble. I personally believe that the Saudi government held the people there for a reason that had nothing to do at all with mechanical failure. I believe they were kept there longer than they should have been there. There were delays on that flight. There were delays on the next flight. There were delays on the flight that they left. It seemed like a lesson was being served to the WWE from the Saudi government. And there are wrestlers saying they'll never go back again. Publicly and privately, we are never going back again. But the main two questions that need to be answered here is, one, did Vince McMahon know that there was trouble afoot for his troops when he left? Number two, was that statement completely false that they put out about mechanical problems? And was Atlas also coerced into making a fake statement? Because that to me seems a little unrealistic, and it also seems heavy conspiracy theory stuff. But if it did happen, it's terrible and it should be addressed. So those to me are the two main questions. Now on to Raw. Also questions for Raw. As we heard and as we talked about, there was a great SmackDown, a takeover edition of SmackDown with an invasion. And wow, this is the greatest SmackDown in ages. But as I explained over the weekend, anybody could have booked that show because it's fun to book a bunch of new people coming in, especially if you're going to put them all over the talent and you're going to have them win over. It's an easy thing to do. And the way you know it's easy is because it's something that fantasy bookers would do. When people want a fantasy book, they always go for these big ideas, a big turn and a big invasion or a big faction, but they don't think of the follow through. And I'm hoping that this just wasn't a one-off fantasy booking of SmackDown and that they now have a plan. Knowing WWE, they may not have a plan until 7:59 tomorrow night, and it might change during the show. But here are the questions I have. How do you make a three-hour show exciting? That's still the main problem. That's still the main question. It's a three-hour show. Regardless of what you do, how do you keep that excitement going? How do you do that? And to me, the answer is you have to go all in on the invasion idea for the story. As I said before, I don't think you go all in on an invasion where they're beating up everybody all the time. But the idea that the story is for the whole show that there's an invasion on SmackDown, people need to protect it. SmackDown maybe shows up, you know, and they need to have a lot of paranoia, a lot of protection. And also NXT needs to show up, but maybe not the way they did on SmackDown. Of course, it's not needed like it was on SmackDown. And there also needs to be a big moment. So for example, you have Raw people guarding the doors. You have SmackDown people guarding the doors. Maybe SmackDown people show up and maybe Raw and SmackDown people get into it. And then NXT comes and picks up the carcass of what they're doing. Or maybe just one or two NXT guys who come in to challenge everybody. And the big moment, I think, has to happen with Brock. That's the biggest moment you can have. And I don't know about Adam Cole in there. Like, when you have these champions going together, I don't think it should be a three-way of, like, Fiend and Brock and Adam Cole. I like Matt Riddle and Brock. That's what I like. I want Matt Riddle in there with Brock. I think everybody else does, too. Now, it's not giving it away if it's at SummerSlam, if it's the main event. If it's something like Brock versus Matt Riddle versus Roman Reigns, something like that as a three-way. I like that a lot because the championships aren't at stake anyway. So you don't need the champions going at each other. And the Fiend is also an outlier. So, of course, the biggest question to me is, are they going to be able to do this and keep NXT still going forward towards a takeover, still not messing up the long-term planning they have for the NXT program, because you have enemies fighting side by side. This is always the issue with these kind of things, is enemies fighting side by side. I would love it if they would find a way to do these invasions without messing up the takeover, and at the same time, not having an enemy fight side by side, because it makes their issues on their show seem so much less important. That being said, this whole thing could snowball into a situation where NXT gets bigger ratings and could be kind of the spark that ignites a Wednesday night war as more and more people are going to start to watch NXT. Certainly what we saw on Friday was that all the cool people were on Wednesdays. That's what we saw on Friday. On Monday, are they going to show all the cool people are still on Wednesdays? Because if so, it's going to do a lot to bring up the ratings of NXT. But if we're seeing their feuds and all these angles that they've built up completely dismissed in 1 week or 2 weeks leading up to one pay-per-view, then they're going to do long-term damage. And the NXT ratings are such that even with a temporary bump from this invasion angle, if they do long-term damage, they can't really sustain. But I'll tell you what, we're doing long-term damage on the podcast scene and also on our Patreon. Please get our bonus shows. If you want the Raw review, as soon as Raw's over, I post the Raw review. I watch the whole show and then I post it, unlike some people. And that'll be up over at WrestlingFriend.com. But listen to us every single day here on Total Engagement, Monday through Friday. Your wrestling friend, me, Matt Coon, talking about all the wrestling stuff, your daily short fix of wrestling. I will see you then. We are wrestling fans. We are wrestling friends. Let's be wrestling family. And we'll talk about it tomorrow on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon.